level.
For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Welcome, we are Flieger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @AsylumFootball.
Yeah, and all you locals, WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
All right, Rick, a big show tonight coming out of week three. But before we get to that, we have a bit of a, it's going to be an evening of reckoning here at the beginning of the show.
Yes, and it just so happens that one of our guests is fearing the other one. And
not calling in yet.
he's not in yet. But let's bring in our first guest, and you know him from Comedy Central. He's one of the original members of the Upright Citizens Brigade on Comedy Central. He's been in films such as Martin and Orloff, Junebug, and Freak Dance. Matt Besser, welcome into the Asylum.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for pronouncing my name right. The first time I was discussed on your show with Dennis, he was calling me Matt Beezer, and I've never been called Matt Beezer. I don't know how he gets Beezer out of Besser.
I think it was clearly just a sign of disrespect is all we could say it is, I mean.
Exactly.
As we'll hear further, so... sort of the background on that as we wait for Dennis to call in. I know you're in a league with Dennis with some other celebrities, if we can use that term. And
yeah, that's a very loose term. I don't think people know me, so I'm not a celebrity, but I am an actor. I'm a comedian. A friend of mine, Matt Walsh, he's in that show Veep right now. He, you know, at one point he's like, hey, let's do this league. I met these... fantasy football guys, these ESPN guys, let's do a league with them. I'm like, no problem. And Dennis Farrell, that's how you say his last name, right?
Or
right, yeah.
Farrell. Maybe we'll call him Farrell for the
exactly. Purpose. Like Farrell, it's just obvious. But he organized the league. He's the commissioner. He puts it together. And the first email I get from him, he's like, all right, let's do the draft on Saturday at 8. And I'm like, wait a minute. When do we agree on Saturday at 8? Because that's when I do my show every week, is Saturday at 8. Now, what do you guys think about that? The ethics of fantasy football. Shouldn't everyone agree on the draft time first?
You would think so. You'd think there would at least be a matter of discussion anyhow. Although the main league, Rick and I, my partner here, are in, you know, he sort of rules with an iron fist as well, so he may tend to disagree.
Really?
Well, I would tend to disagree with my illustrious partner over here. I am nothing but a velvet hand guiding them.
But do you just declare the time that the draft will be, or do you feel people out and see if they're available?
No, but to be honest with you, like this year's draft, I changed it, I believe, 3 times. So.
Yeah.
To accommodate, and then once you accommodate one or two guys, then two other ones go, I can't make that day. So then it's kind of like, oh, man. But, no, you have to do that because, you know, people have lives.
Right. You put it at an odd time that people can't, you know, Sunday at 7 a.m. so people can't lie and say they're doing something. So, but anyway, mine's Saturday at 8 p.m. when I have my gig. So I'm on stage, and I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I don't know these guys, so I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I'll just do it. It's an improvised show. It's an improv show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. And so since it's an improvised show, I'm like, I'll just dodge backstage every time it's my turn for the draft. So you got to imagine me performing, and every time it's my time to draft running back stage. So I'm under crazy circumstances, so give me that, okay, guys?
All right, that's fair. See,
Flieger and Briggs?
We weren't aware of that, so that's fair. That's impressive.
He didn't bring that part of the story, right?
No, actually, that was the first we heard of it. And, I mean, we didn't actually know that you were improvising a draft as well as a show.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, most people, when they're waiting for their draft to come up, they're sitting there analyzing all the names that are on the big board, right? But I don't have that. All I have is, like, seconds before my guy is about to be drafted, I'm just looking, you know, everybody puts their, like, top 20, but after that's gone, who knows who you're getting? So I'm just looking at the top three available, making quick decisions. But I'm making no excuses but go ahead.
No, I mean, just going to, you know, the first pick, obviously, we've gone on many shows talking about wait and get a quarterback later. Your first overall pick, Peyton Manning, you look like a genius right now.
Exactly. Why isn't he on the phone right now? Because I wanted to say this to him. Is he still not on?
I actually just got a text from him.
Yeah.
And he is calling in soon, opening gifts.
Oh.
Now, there's a sign of disrespect.
What? This guy is a flim-flam man.
A snake oil.
He's gonna pretend that he's at a child's birthday party when he's just avoiding my wrath. Please.
Yeah. As he should, giving us only half the story. So where you were taken to task, and I have a little clip we'll play once we get Dennis on, but bringing in the pick of Frank Gore, number two, is where we spent the most debate. Any new listeners, there was a debate. Dennis, Fantasy Sideline Show, that's Dennis's show, and ours did a little crossover episode where we looked at this draft. And Peyton Manning, we had the discussion of taking the quarterback too early, however.
Hold on, before we get to that, he never told everybody in this draft that he was going to be analyzing us on a show. So I also want to discuss the ethics of that, because he sends us your show, the day after, you know, it aired. He sends us the clip to the whole league, and he's like, hey, here you go. What do you guys think of this? And I'm playing it while I'm making dinner with my wife, and you guys start ragging on me, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I don't even know these guys. They're ragging on my traffic.
We had no idea we were going to blindside. See, we were pretty, I guess we were pretty kind to Matt Walsh, because I emailed him a couple of times, and he says, oh, yeah, I listened to that, and it was a good show. So apparently we were kind to him. We'll have to go back.
Oh, I was the only one that got dogged. I was the only one treated like an idiot with his being called Matt Beezer. So I'm like sitting there with my wife, and she's like, why are they calling you Matt Beezer? And I'm like, I don't know. And then you guys get to the quarterback selection. So listeners, dear listeners, I pick Peyton Manning. Oh, maybe without question in my mind, the best quarterback of all time, maybe the best football player of all time. I pick him at number 11. And I get laughed at. I picked the best football player of all time, and I'm getting mocked. And and you two were in on this, too, on the quarterback. You guys were like, we tell our listeners never draft a quarterback in the first round.
And that's true. We were facing up. I mean, we admitted it to you right to start with. And not only that, whoever Team Cold Wind is actually took Aaron Rodgers ahead of Peyton Manning. And I'm not
well,
sure.
I think I might have too. This is what I wanted to discuss, and what I don't understand about this theory of not drafting quarterbacks in the first round is if you are down to where I was, 11. We're in a 14-man league, so at 11, 12, 13, and 14. The 10 best running backs theoretically have been taken. Maybe a couple of the best wide receivers, but I don't see the logic in taking a mediocre running back over Peyton Manning. I just don't see that logic. I want to have at least one player who I can depend on. I feel like everyone feels that way. They want to have one player that they just know without question is going to score for them. So why should I pick someone, a mediocre running back, over one of the best quarterbacks of all time?
Yeah, I think, to be fair, here's the logic in it, and here's where it proved to be terribly wrong this season in terms of Peyton Manning and where you're going to get the last laugh. While I agree, when you're getting down to that 11 spot, you're getting to mediocre running backs. I know this wasn't a PPR league, so maybe the receivers weren't as highly valued. And looking at more of a standard 12-team league, you get past these top two quarterbacks, then everybody's pretty much the same. But it hasn't panned out with Peyton Manning being so high above it. I think it's changed. I think running back, and Dennis would enjoy this if he'd actually man up and call in here, he'd get those gifts open. But, you know, the receivers are more valuable. The quarterback, how can we argue? Peyton Manning's got 1,100 yards. I think all we can do is hang our heads in shame and apologize.
Well, I'm looking at the ESPN fantasy points, and he has, I'm just looking at the ranking of fantasy points, and he's number one with 90, and the next closest is 68.
Yeah.
So he has 22 points more than the next closest.
I think,
and I feel like Aaron Rodgers does that. He did it two seasons ago, those kind of scores, too. I feel like some of these, and Drew Brees sometimes, too, and maybe Tom Brady, not this year, but on other years, you can depend on them to get as many points as two players. So it seems smart to me, just logic numbers-wise, to choose them instead of someone that's more of a gamble, like a running back.
Yeah, and I think, and it's hard to argue, I think the theory is what we discuss is, at the end of the day, you're only going to start one quarterback. You got to have two running backs. In most cases, you got to have three receivers or two receivers and another flex spot. It's sort of not taking that quarterback in the first round to bolster up those top four, and you can get yourself a Tony Romo. I don't want to say Eli Manning after last week. But this type of guy down in the fifth, sixth, so you can get Matt Ryan, although he's been so many of these guys have been disappointments. This argument is really thin right now, and you're 90-some points. So I won't make the argument again. We'll just tip our hats to you on stage entertaining the masses.
Doesn't it seem like there's only two or three guys at every position who are a guarantee? Like, even at running back, like, you know, everyone can agree Adrian Peterson is most likely going to get good, but everyone can agree on Arian Foster, but that would have been in everyone's top five, if not top three, before the season started, right?
Yeah, no question.
It just seems these running backs are more theoretical, whereas I would put my money on Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, or Peyton Manning this year above so many running backs to just score 20 or above a few times where it makes it really worth having them.
Yeah, and I'm looking right here at the running backs right now. Like, Rick was very high on LeSean McCoy at the beginning of the year, and he's proven right. He's got almost 400 yards. Doug Martin's about 300 yards. But, I mean, then you start looking after that. D'Angelo Williams, third in the league right now.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, who'd have thunk that? DeMarco Murray's fourth, and then there's Peterson.
May I point out that was my third round pick, DeMarco Murray.
Yes, that's true. And he has been touted by me as the official running back of the Asylum Fantasy Football podcast in past years.
Although he's never heard of us before.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't matter. You know, we have to toot our own horn too, pal. But I'm Jamaal Charles. I think he's, you know, PPR formats is one of the best values out there. But you're right, it's very thin right now. And Dennis has said he's just about ready. He was rushing through the gift wrapping, and he apologizes, and he'll be calling in just momentarily.
So let's leap then into, after we mercilessly assailed you for the Peyton Manning pick, my colleague here was the one who was most offended by your second round pick of Frank Gore.
I'll defend that.
And gave a laundry list of people he would prefer to have up.
Okay, but let's go over that list. Stephen Ridley, Stephen Jackson. What have they done?
Oh,
one's injured and one is barely playing.
But you knew that, taking Frank Gore, I take it.
Well, hold on. Now, I didn't know that, but here's my logic. I will pick, if it comes down to a bunch of running backs who are not top tier and not proven, I'll pick the guy on the better team, because I just figure I want to be on the better team. They haven't, and they didn't prove that this week, San Francisco, but I still feel they're a really smart team, and he's the guy that they're going to be giving it to on the goal line. There just aren't any other obvious running backs right there, whereas a team like the Patriots, you never know who their running backs or wide receivers are going to be or end up being.
I
think there's a logic there, and even though I don't expect him to get 20, but I think I can depend on him to get 10 a lot, and then hope that someone like Murray will be the one who gets
Murray seems
the surprising numbers.
No doubt about it. But, you know, I was just going down, and of course, Rick throws me to the fire. But, you know, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas coming after that, Jimmy Graham after this past week. But, you know, I'm just, I have to defend that as far as going into the season. I would not have taken Frank Gore over Marshall, Demaryius.
No, that was probably where I was stupid, but I was afraid if I didn't get a running back in the second round at all, I would just get no running back.
And that's where, again, I'm not going to make the argument against Peyton Manning at this point, but that is where I think the argument comes in for not taking that quarterback earlier. You're going to have to reach on a running back in the next two rounds in order to ensure you have somebody playing. So maybe that's the one little defense I can have for all the awful things we said about Mr. Beezer on that podcast.
But back to the wide receivers, basically, that you listed. You know, Bo was another one of those, but I don't think he's done anything yet. And he's good, but he goes with my theory of he's just not on a great team. I don't trust Alex Smith is the one I don't trust, so I wouldn't get him as a receiver.
Alex Smith is an efficient quarterback, no doubt about that. Bo seems more of a take the top coverage away from Donnie Avery, and Jamaal Charles is basically been his role so far this year, and it's worked. Look, they're 3-0, but from a fantasy perspective, he is definitely a dud. There's no question about that. But
I guess when I get my theory on receivers, just about every year I've gotten Jordy Nelson, and he's paid off for me. He's like, it's like, get someone who's paired. I'm a Jets fan, so I won't get a Patriot. I will never draft a Patriot, period. Even Gronkowski. But I always try to get someone with Drew Brees or with Aaron Rodgers as my, I think they're always underrated, those receivers.
So you cannot compartmentalize your feelings to the Patriots when it comes to fantasy football.
I don't know how anyone does that to their rival team, because you on the day, on Sunday, you have to on some level be rooting for your fantasy players, and if it's a rival team, how can I possibly wrap my brain around rooting for a Patriot if I'm a Jets fan?
One thing I would suggest is not have a whole lot going on in your life and have 6 or 7 teams, so at some point you're rooting for and against yourself at all times, and it sort of takes care of all that, which is what our lives have become since we started this little venture a couple of years ago.
You see, I go with my passion a lot, too. I'm also a college football and Arkansas Razorback fan, so I always get Razorbacks, and that's paid off hugely for me when I drafted McFadden when he was still under the radar. That first year he had that huge year, and also Peyton Hillis paid off hugely for me because he was way under the radar. And this year, no one's probably heard this guy, but Niles Davis, he's the guy that's behind Jamaal Charles right now.
Yes, and being a multiple Jamaal Charles owners, I hope no one hears of Niles Davis all year long.
And Felix Jones is the second running back at the Steelers now.
Jets fortunately taking most of the carries last week and coughing one up at a very crucial time, as most Steelers are doing this season.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it looks like Dennis isn't going to show up.
I'm starting to wonder here. He said he'd be five minutes ago. So I don't want to hold you up if you got somewhere to be. If you want to take one final shot at him, you're welcome.
I think what he's doing is listening live and waiting for this moment.
Oh, no. Yeah, I do have to go, but thank you for pronouncing my name right, and thank you, dear listeners, for hearing my side of the story. I am 3-0. I haven't mentioned that yet, and I beat Dennis last week.
You beat him, but you lost this week.
No, I did not. I did not lose this week.
So he's sending misinformation through as
well. I am 3-0. There are two guys on top, and I am one of them with my Frank Gore.
Yeah, Frank Gore, Peyton Manning, can't argue that. Who was the third round pick? I think we took a shot at him.
Marco Murray,
and that one panned
out. He did take a shot at that, and he has paid off for me because I believed in him.
I'll own that one. I was down on DeMarco Murray, and you were right. All right, well, Matt Besser, not Beezer, we thank you a lot for coming in. Sorry Dennis didn't show up. Maybe we can, if your success continues, we can hook you guys up again.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, guys. If your fans want to find out about me, I'm at mattbesser.com. I'll see you later.
All right, very good. Thanks, Matt.
Bye.
All right, Rick, well, that didn't work out quite how we planned, but great guest, a lot of fun to talk to, and shame on Dennis. No, all right, so we're giving him a hard time. It is his daughter,
his daughter's fifth birthday.
His daughter's fifth birthday, so you can't blame a guy for that, but we're going to a little bit for the purposes of this show anyhow.
Yeah, we're just going to have to throw him under the bus a little bit, because he said he was going to call in and take a beating like a man, but...
But we'll give him the child's birthday exception. I know how my spouse would respond had I dipped out of a child's birthday party to talk fantasy football with a couple of cretins like us. So I guess I can't blame him. Well, Rick, let's move on. Dennis may call in yet. If he does, we'll just go ahead and talk to him and see what wish his daughter a happy birthday, certainly. So let's make sure we do that for all the awful things we've said here. I guess we just jump in and let's give out our game balls and our stinky socks for this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, after week 3, if you are just not chewing nails
I've had it.
Spinning around on your shoulders like Reagan in The Exorcist. I mean, it is unbelievable. 38-0,
yeah.
Panthers over the Giants, unbelievable.
Steelers down 17-0 before 4 minutes are gone in the first quarter of their game, come all the way back and end up getting blown out again. From a fantasy perspective, Adrian Peterson's been bad.
Yeah.
Everybody's been bad. You know, save for LeSean McCoy you brought up. You know, there's a guy I was high on. I'm going to take a little credit for that. Granted, we're only 3 weeks in. Eli Manning's averaging 400 yards. Well, we'll just get into it. These are all going to be part of our game balls and stinky socks. It's been a real weird year.
Cleveland trades Trent Richardson.
Right.
Starts Brian Hoyer. Oh, man, they're mailing it in this year. They go to Minnesota and win.
How many times did we recommend, you know, the Minnesota Vikings defense on Sunday morning on the slant, and they just get blowed up by Hoyer and Gordon? Rick, I think we got the call, so... Let's go ahead and bring him in.
Now.
Oh, here we go, Rick. Dennis, how you doing tonight?
Oh, sorry, guys. I had to knock out my kid's 5-year-old birthday party.
Well, hey, we can't blame you for that. So happy birthday to your daughter. Did you get anything good?
No.
No, nothing. Nothing good for her. Nothing you can play with. Nothing good, because that's what I look for in birthday parties.
Nothing good that I can play with that I have to put stuff together all damn day tomorrow.
Well, that's good. That'll keep you out of trouble. Well, Matt Besser, not Beezer, had to dip out. He ran out of time, but I don't know if you probably didn't get a chance to listen. He didn't seem very happy with you.
Is he like fake happy or really like I hate him happy?
Probably somewhere in the middle,
Just more. He was happy that he was going to wreak revenge on you, and came to the conclusion you were in blog talk listening live and waited for him to exit.
I wish that was the case, trust me.
Listen, but now, we had a conversation for a good 20 minutes or so, and you know, he just had to run, but you know, he's very proud of the Peyton Manning pick. There's no question about that. And he said that you failed to mention that he was doing an improv show during the draft and had to run off stage for every pick.
You know what? That is 100% true. It was something I did not remember at the time of the show. He is 100% correct on that. Is he going to listen to the show?
I wouldn't if I was him, hope so.
we can send him a clip. Don't you worry. We'll just send him one like you did. That was another thing that he brought up as well. He had no clue, apparently, that we were going to review this, and you sent it to him, and he said that him and his wife were in the kitchen, and we decided to listen to it, and apparently we started assailing him right off the bat.
Well, send him this clip. Matt Besser, 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 Besser. I know that was his other gripe. Matt Besser, I have come back to the spot that I have insulted you. I've come back to the show that I insulted your team. I come back to the show humbled 1-2 right now. This is 100% for you. I apologize for not making the show. It was my kid's 5-year-old birthday party, and I had to watch her open crappy gifts while I itched and wanted to be here to face the music. I face the music on Twitter, I face it on my show, and now I face it in this clip on the show for you. As of week 3, you were right and I was wrong. As of week 3. It's a long season, my friend, and I feel a bet coming on.
Oh, I like
before. Yes, I've said this before. I am willing to put a bet up. I'm willing to bet, and no disrespect for your team. You have the best team in the league right now. I respect your team, but I believe in my team that I could finish ahead of you in this league. I'm willing to put a bet on it. You get this clip to him ASAP. This whole clip. I'm not done yet. You make sure he knows that he calls the time of the day to come back here. And I'll say the same thing again. I messed up, bad planning on my part with the birthday party and the falling of my sword. Matt, I've got all the respect for you now, but you now have a target on your back by being the best team in the league. And I'm coming for you, my friend. So I have big props. Maybe you saw something I did not see in the Peyton Manning pick. It has panned out for you, and great pick. I still argue up and down about the Frank Gore pick. And maybe that was a hurry pick. Maybe you didn't want to take the pick. I don't have the whole story. But I'll fight you up and down on that one. There you go.
And the DeMarco Murray pick we took a shot at, too. He looks, at least last week, he won on that one as well. It was a lot of contrition on this show is what it ended up being, which we're really not very good at.
Well, you know, if DeMarco Murray plays Rams every game, then he's a genius by drafting him that early. Well, although I don't know where he drafted him, so.
Well, he did draft him, like I said, in the 3rd round, but that's about as far as we got as far as the bashing goes. But, you know, I had to defend my questioning of Frank Gore as well. But, you know, with the Brandon Marshall and Demaryius Thomas and Jimmy Graham coming after him. But, yeah, he was staunch in his defense of his 3-0 team. There's no question about that.
Well, I want him to know that I apologize for being late on the show. That was my fault, and maybe a tad bit of not wanting to face music, but it was a 5-year-old birthday party. I did kick her once, like, hurry up, I got to get on the phone with Matt Besser.
Come on.
Besser, come on. How many more My Little Pony things do you need? But I'm here. I am on the show falling on my sword. I want you to get this to him ASAP, because I am willing to come back when it's not my kid's 5-year-old birthday party, any day this week or next week to set up terms of a bet.
And we will be happy to facilitate that for you.
You let him know. You're like the United Nations. You let him know, because I'm probably America. I'm a little bit cocky, shooting off my mouth. He's kind of like Australia. You don't want to mess with them. They're a little bit mean, but they pack a punch when provoked. So you let him know to listen to this, because I got to get back down and have ice cream cake and all that crap.
Well, that doesn't sound awful.
What kind of cake?
He just said ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake. Yes. I'm sorry. I thought it was ice cream and cake. See.
All right. Well, hey, we'll let you get party. We'll get this to Matt right away. Before you go, I know you got something exciting going on. We promised a promo on the show. Why don't you go ahead and do it?
I've been named the new program director of the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you, guys. A lot of help from people like you guys who helped support me when I was a nobody. And, like I said on the phone, when that time comes, I'll scratch your back too.
Well, we are just happy to see you make that move, and congratulations.
Well, don't congratulate me too much. I'm still 1-3, 1-2 against Matt Besser. So I gotta make it right with him. So you tell him I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it right with him. So you get this over to him right away. Tell him in an email, in a tweet, send smoke signals, send it by train, plane, automobile, that I am sorry, and that this is a must-listen to clip for him. Tell him to listen to it with his wife. By the way, hi, Mrs. Besser. I'm sorry I interrupted your time at the kitchen and whatnot.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, Dennis. We appreciate you calling in. Get back to that party. Enjoy your cake. And tell that little girl we said happy birthday.
I will. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
See you, Dennis.
All right, so the new program director of the Armed Forces Radio Network, congratulations to him. Before we jump back on, Rick, we got another call. I believe I recognize this number. This is Jersey. How's it going tonight?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Jersey, how you doing? Yeah, doing pretty good. 3-0. We keep rolling up points and stuff. And kind of quick question. Then it's PPR, like it's a PPR, 10-point rushing touchdown. Yeah, you get 100 yards, 5 bonus points, a point for every yard rushing. Here's my dilemma. Well, it's a good dilemma. Right now I got number 3, 4, and 6 running back in the league. Peterson, 3rd, Bell, 4 in points. DeMarco Murray is 6. Now, DeMarco Murray, and I also have Ben Tate. Is it worth it to trade, make an offer for DeMarco Murray for Foster, or DeMarco Murray for Trent Richardson? What's your feeling on that? Is that a smart move on my part?
It's not a bad move. I don't know if it's one you need to make. With the first two you have that cushion. Murray obviously has the upside. Look, he's not going to do what he did last week every week.
Right.
We talked about Sunday. Garrett said they're committed to running the ball more, and they, at least for one game, they seem to mean it. Now, like Dennis just said, they're not going to play the Rams every week. I think you could, especially having Tate, having that cushion, if you could get Arian Foster for him, I'd make that move. Trent Richardson, okay. I think that's more of a push, but Rick, I'll let you take that one as the DeMarco Murray guy on the show.
Yeah, I love DeMarco Murray. However, I think if you would make the move for Foster, definitely do that. Don't know about Trent Richardson myself. I have to agree with Rick. I like Richardson. Don't get me wrong, but if Cowboys are committed to the run, I really like the Cowboys this year. I think they got all the weapons.
That division is terrible.
Yeah, the division's terrible. I think they got all the weapons in place. Romo can pass, and they're putting the ball through the air. It's still going to open up the run game. So I don't think I'd do that for Richardson, but certainly for Foster.
Okay. Yeah, because like I said, I'm 3-0 and hate to tinker stuff. I don't even play Josh Gordon. I mean, because I go with Garce Hunt and A.J. Green. So, like I said, I mean, Philly, I still killed the guy because I Philly didn't score no points because he got hurt. And I still crushed this guy. So, like I said, it's a little luck, I've been on both sides before, and I figured, is it worth tinkering with anything right now? Like I said, it's a wacky PPR league. My standard league, I'm 2-1 in that. I'm trying to get Blau Powell to give this guy Cook and Peter Thomas for Eifert and Powell. I don't need Eifert. I'll pick up Zach. I already got Heath Miller on there, so I'll go with Heath Miller for a while. So, but you never know. Like I said, you're out there trying to see what you can do. So you're saying, all right, for Foster, maybe. But or you think just keep it the way it is? What do you think? I mean, I'm just worried about DeMarc Murray getting hurt.
Yeah, but, I think you're in a good spot. If you can get a guy the caliber of Arian Foster, if you got an Arian Foster. You know, look, if I'm on the Foster side, I probably wouldn't make that deal. So if they're panicking a little bit, you make that
move.
He's
0-3. That guy that's got Foster's 0-3.
And especially you always have the injury concerns with Foster. So, yeah, definitely that move. Richardson, I think that's going to be a lateral move. And if you're sitting 3-0, I wouldn't tinker too much.
Okay. I'll do it that way there then. I appreciate it, guys. Best luck to you.
Great
to
hear.
And take care. Yep, have a nice evening. Take care.
You too.
Take care.
All right, good to hear from Jersey again. So, boy, Rick, this show's flying by. We better get some game balls and some stinky socks out there, and then we got to get this clip to Matt, as we promised to Dennis.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, between birthdays and busy schedules and trade, oh my, it's just terrible.
It's an exciting time. This
and
is
then,
time
and then coming in off of the week that we just had, that we were talking to before, I mean, it's really hard to make some predictions. You know, all this sound sage advice is really tough.
For the 11 of you who listen to the Sunday Slant, and we told to take Antonio Brown, and we did everything but say cut him. You know, we'll get to him later. Like that. It's just been a weird year. The running backs, you know, if Dennis had more time, if we can get him on some other day. Rick, I think he was right with this receiver. Well, that's a debate to have with the running back position being so far down, short of Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy. Hell, Adrian Peterson's a 90-yard, one-touchdown kind of guy to this point of the season. Did it make it more important to get these guys to be getting anything out of them, or was the receiver and Matt Besser's quarterback theory, boy, it's hard to make a salient argument against those right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's some pros and cons in all these strategies. I still maintain with the wide receiver depth that you're still smart to get a running back ahead. I mean, a lot of leagues. I mean, I've got Jamal Charles and whatever, Chris Johnson or somebody like that, and still have guys like Wes Welker, Reggie Wayne. He's really not putting up big numbers right now, but preseason, I mean, you still have to go back into logic in preseason. There were a lot of receivers out there, and let's look at the numbers. Antonio Brown and some of these guys, they're throwing up numbers. Brian Hartline's turned into a nice, consistent receiver. I mean, there's a lot of depth out there, and I still think that you can get value at wide receiver way down in the draft.
Yeah, and especially Josh Gordon, a guy you may have been able to get off your waiver wire going into last week, and look what he did. So, Rick, let's save a lot of these because I'm using up all my game balls and stinky socks talking about this. I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to start on the negative with a stinky sock.
We like to do that.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. My first stinky sock goes to Felt Street. Now, none of you out there know what that means. But
I do.
If you listen Sunday, Rick and I went head-to-head in our League of Consequence, as Rick likes to call it, and unfortunately he drubbed me. And so I want to give a big old smelly, nasty, crusty sock, I don't know if I can say that, to my team, Felt Street. Just let me run through this. Now, this is a team that was 2-0. I hadn't even been challenged to this point. And before you start thumping your wrinkly old chest.
I am polite and just sitting here.
Anything but. But before, here's my team. Eli Manning, 3 points. So Eli, you can make an argument against. Daryl Richardson, a big fat goose egg. We got that news Sunday morning that he'd been limited in practice on Friday. We talked about that on the Slant. However, he was active to the point where Zach Stacy was still inactive. However, Richardson never saw the field. So a big fat goose egg there. Brandon Marshall, a whopping 10 points, and he got that one at the end, that one big catch that finally buried the Steelers. Andre Johnson, 8.6 points. Kyle Rudolph with a big 7 points for me. And Vincent Jackson with a 6.4. Everybody I count on just completely threw up all over their shoes. So a big old smelly sock to my team, Felt Street, and all these losers that are on it.
Yeah, your only bright spot was LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, and the Bears defense,
and
who
Bears
was
defense.
My top scorer this week. So congratulations to me on that one. So you got this one. We play two more times. So, Rick, don't get used to it. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah, you know, you just never know. I mean, I gave you a whooping with a goose egg from Hakeem Nicks, 1 point from Greg Leg Zuerlein, and it just was not a huge week. And I tell you what, the points have really dropped in week three compared to the first week. My first stinky sock is going to an entire NFL team, and that's the New York Football Giants.
Wow, yeah.
There is nothing on that team right now that even looks like a positive. I mean, I watched a little bit of that game, and I believe they missed a 29-yard field goal. And it's just gruesome. Tom Coughlin may not survive physically this season. I mean, not that he's getting fired.
He'll have a stroke on the sideline. Although that's fun to watch. But, yeah, just a terrible game. That defense is awful. That's usually a defense you have to worry about. Note to DeMarco Murray, anybody in that East going up against that Giants defense, they ain't who you think they are. Alfred Morris owners, get these guys in the lineup against the Giants defense. They're horrible. We were talking to Matt Besser before we went on the air. He's actually a Jets fan, and talking about the Giants and how bad they were and how much time Eli spent on his back. Did I hear that 7 times in the first half he got sacked or something obscene like that? Just a hot mess with the Giants. Although, do you feel like they've done this before and they're going to go on some 7 or 8 game winning streak at the end of the year, finish 9-7 and make the playoffs just to get blowed up by the Packers at some point?
No. I can see them maybe righting the ship a little bit, but they're 0-3 and they are a bad 0-3.
Yeah, it's not if you could be worse than 0-3 after 3 games, that's where they would be.
I mean, he's been sacked 11 times right this year with 76 yards lost during his sacks. And, that's bad. And Mike Vick's been sacked 11 times, and Ryan Tannehill's been sacked 14 times. So, I mean, as far as he's running for his life, there's no question about it.
Yeah, it's been scary. So, Rick, let's swing to the positive. I got to give a game ball. A guy we give an awful hard time to a lot, Rick, but I got to hand this guy a game ball. Rick D'Angelo Williams does it again. 23 carries, 120 yards. I believe you said the third leading rusher in the NFL right now.
Yes, he is.
What do you make of it?
He's the guy right now, and they're actually running a little bit with him. You know, and it kind of goes back to what we said back in the preseason, maybe not even the preseason, but the offseason, that this running back by committee just never seems to really work, because it doesn't matter the two backs. That line has to block differently for two different backs. There's in different schemes. They can't get into a groove. And I think you see D'Angelo Williams getting into a groove. He's finding himself. He's standing over on the sidelines. He's happy. And he's a big part of that offense instead of standing there playing, a half to a third to a half of the downs.
It's true. And look, what was it, 2000, coming out of 2008, he had a big end of 2008. He was a first-round pick in 2009, sort of gradually dropped off, continued to disappoint. And, I'll argue against that. Every year, Jay Stu goes down, and there's been times he's got – here's the problem with D'Angelo Williams, why I don't want to oversell it. Why is the third leading rusher in the league? He's never going to get in the end zone. Yeah, he did all the work getting down there. Tolbert got the goal line carry. Cam Newton gets most of the goal line carries. That's where you have to temper yourself. Why, even though he's running the ball at the clip he is, why this guy, I think, is probably still a number two running back. But I think you argue maybe he wasn't a number two running back going into the year, so he's worked himself up to that.
I mean, what an upgrade putting him right now is. And I'd call him a mid-range, RB2 to an upper range RB2. Yeah. Look, he's
on a yardage standpoint, again, unless he busts it for 10 yards or out, he's not going to get in the end zone.
The thing is, he's got 291, yards, but he's averaging 4.7 yards a pop. He's got as many attempts as LeSean McCoy does rushing, so he's being used, which is a positive for the fantasy owners. As a matter of fact, in our League of Consequence, I just made a deal and acquired D'Angelo Williams
for a song, too.
Well, I thought it was quite a fair deal.
Well, you would, as a iron-fisted commissioner with...
It was just a player.
Dirty play. You took advantage of the less fortunate, if you ask me.
Oh, I
less fortunate
disagree.
In terms of brain cells, but that's a whole different discussion.
And, I think we'll send him a clip.
He won't listen to it. He knows better than that.
Probably.
All right, so we're on back to Stinky Socks, Rick.
No, I believe I'm giving a game ball.
Oh,
right?
Are you? All right,
yes,
do
I
that
am.
Then.
And I think I'm going to have to I got to give one to Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It was not the most spectacular performance. But I tell you what, that 3rd and 9, I believe it was, is a 4-point game. And they're looking to pump back the Steelers, who actually has some momentum. And, I mean, Cutler basically took that team on his back. He made that run up the field and just bowled – oh, and his name escapes me, the cornerback – just bowled him over.
Yeah.
Getting that first down, saying, you know, I'm not being stopped. Delivers a huge strike to Brandon Marshall right later on. And I tell you what, I really like the temperament of this guy right now.
Yeah.
Under Trestman.
The team looks good. He's come around. Cutler can do this. He had a year like this in Denver. He's capable of it. You give him some weapons. You know, Forte, I think, is outperforming my expectations. I know a lot of people had these expectations for him, but Forte looks solid. Cutler's getting it done. He seems calm. They're keeping him off his back, which is an issue he had a lot. That defense is that defense. I like this Bears team, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with come January.
Yeah, I was high on them in the preseason, and yeah, they're just upholding my belief right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, I'll go to a Stinky Sock, Rick. Here's a guy. I don't want to start thumping my chest. I screamed it. We were assailed for it through comments and through Twitter when we discussed this in the preseason. Rick, I believe I keep having to say this every week. C.J. Spiller, Rick, 10 carries, 9 yards. Here's a guy who was drafted sometimes in the top 5, easily in the top 8 of all your drafts. I didn't like it then. I definitely don't like it now. C.J. Spiller's been a huge disappointment to this point.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, to expand on that point, it'd be one thing if, Buffalo is getting destroyed and they just couldn't move the ball. But Fred Jackson's getting it done. And Spiller's the guy that's not doing it.
Right. This week, Fred Jackson didn't get in the end zone for the first time. But again, 7 carries, 72 yards, averages 10 yards a carry against a stout Jets defense. Look, you're going to look more and more at a 50-50 split. Spiller's going to have those weeks where he's going to have 6 or 7 grabs. He's going to find the end zone that way. He's going to bust a big play. But every week, and trust in him as a top 8, top 10 pick, he's just not performing. And really, this is the C.J. Spiller that existed before that big run he went on when Fred Jackson got hurt at the end of last year. This is a Spiller that exists. He's going to have big weeks. He was always about that 25th running back. So you carried him on your bench. Every time you had to play him, he had an outing like this. Look, what's he capable of? If he was getting all the work, if he was being used appropriately, he's probably a top 3 back. But he's not being used that way. He's not getting it done in the run game. They're not getting him the ball in space. And this is the fear. If they're not running plays to get the kid the ball in space, he's not going to rush 20 times a game. He's not going to rush 23 times a game like D'Angelo Williams did. It's not who he is.
I agree 100%. And, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, the guy's dynamic, but he's just, you know, like you said, if he's not in space, he's not hitting the holes and breaking tackles and getting through there, and Jackson's getting it done. Okay, I'm going to go with a Stinky Sock, and, you know, kind of almost an iffy win, but I'm just a little disappointed. Miles Austin this year.
Yeah.
You know, look, the guy, you know, we've talked about him before. Him and Dez Bryant are basically the same size physically. Dez Bryant plays twice as big as this kid does.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I've seen Miles Austin make more than a handful of easy catches into drops so far this year. He's only got 125 yards receiving. He's averaging 8.3 yards a catch. And look, this guy, I remember him a few years ago. Boy, he was the biggest splash in sliced bread. And then all of a sudden the hamstring issue – and now he doesn't even seem to really get down the field.
Well, and then he tweaks that hamstring again
every
this
year,
week.
Yep.
Here we go again. And I actually saw something. They discussed him on one of the NFL shows on that four-letter network this afternoon. And, you know, he tweaked it again. They had a doctor on, and they said every time you do this, it gets worse. It takes longer to recover. So, yeah, Miles Austin, here's a guy. He's going to now probably be hamstrung with this. It takes longer to recover every time you do it. probably for the rest of the year. He was disappointing when he was healthy. Yeah, a decent week one, a lot of grabs, not a lot of yardage. But to your point, it doesn't seem like he's getting downfield, using Dez Bryant to stretch it. They're working the running game in with DeMarco Murray. Miles Austin's a guy you probably need to sit down for a while.
Yeah, and, you know, when he tweaked his hamstring, Williams came in and he didn't really notice any difference in the Cowboy offense. I mean, you know, it's Bryant, Murray, and Witten.
Yeah, and Witten's been a disappointment at this point. You know, as the season moves on, Romo's going to rely heavier and heavier on him, which is even less work for a guy. And you're not going to take work away from Dez Bryant, so it's going to be less work for Miles Austin, assuming he can get on the field.
Exactly.
So let's get to a game ball, Rick. We got about 10 minutes left. Here's a guy we talked about. We'll go back to everything we talked about in the preseason. You looked at the situation up in Denver, who was going to be left out with Wes Welker coming in. Eric Decker does it again this week. This week, 8 grabs, 133 yards, and a touchdown. Look, at this point, you can't go wrong with any 3 of them and any 4 if you include Julian Thomas. Just the way this offense is moving, Eric Decker, more of a possession guy than I thought he would be. Had a lot of targets, hauled in 8 of them, and is getting looked at down around the goal line as well.
Yeah, I was a proponent of Decker being that guy, the James Jones of that offense, getting the touchdowns. But he's getting a lot more looks than we all thought. He's really not suffering all that much.
No, he does. Getting the same
look. There's just
look.
So much to go around in Denver.
It's just rolling so well right now. I think you can't go wrong. If somebody would find a way to slow them down, and I really can't foresee it now. I think Decker becomes the one if it starts clicking down. But look, they still haven't made a decision on the running game. Moreno Hillman got all those carries, still trying to work at the Monty Ball. It's going to be a pass-first team, and nobody does it better than, as we talked about at the top of the show, nobody's doing it better than Peyton Manning.
1,143 yards, 12 touchdowns, no picks.
Matt Besser, you were right.
134.7 QBR. There's just not much to argue with that right now, and there's plenty to go around when you're putting up gaudy numbers like that.
Yeah, absolutely, no question about it.
Okay, so I am doing a game ball, and I am going to have to go with Cecil Shorts.
Yeah, I had him written down.
I mean, there was a small glow of anything bright. It wasn't even bright, but a small glow of something positive in Jacksonville. It was Cecil Shorts. And, I mean, this kid's a real deal. It's just too bad that he's on such a pitiful offense right now. And, I mean, the same could be said with Maurice Jones-Drew as well. But, no, I really like this kid. And, you know, he had that concussion last year. And that he seems to be staying healthy this year, and he's doing it again.
Yeah, 8 catches, 143 yards on just a terrible team. I think here's what you watch with him. I think he's a low-end 2, definitely a solid number 3 wide receiver, as long as Chad Henne's starting.
If and when
the other experiment comes back, when Blaine Gabbert comes back, and if they insist on getting him on the field again, I think Short's value, I put him on the bench there. Gabbert's so much worse. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Justin Blackmon gets back. Last year it only made Shorts better. Blackmon started putting up numbers. Shorts' numbers went right along with him with Chad Henne. I think that's the domino in the Cecil Shorts puzzle here.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to defend. I mean, it's hard to defend Henne when you're looking at, look, he's got a touchdown pass, 2 picks. He's got a 68.8 QBR. Until you're comparing him to Blaine Gabbert, who is under 31 QBR, you know, no touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 6 times. And, Henne just seems to at least, it's hard to say that he moves them. I mean, they were getting slaughtered by Seattle, but I just think he's a better option fantasy-wise especially.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, 5 minutes left. Let's get 7 minutes left. We got time. Another stinky soccer. This is a guy we haven't talked about, and I want to. He's been a real disappointment all year. Tony Gonzalez, Rick, this week, 4 catches, 24 yards. He's right now sitting 3 games in, 11 grabs for 93 yards and a touchdown. Not terrible for your average tight end, but this is a guy generally the first option, 1B at worst, in a real good Atlanta offense. The Atlanta offense in general has been kind of disappointing. Matt Ryan's been a disappointment as well. But Tony Gonzalez not getting only the 1 touchdown, not seeming to get that goal line work, only 4 grabs this week, 24 yards. Like I said, 11 for 93 for the year. Just been a disappointment. A guy was probably still the 4th or 5th tight end overall taken.
Yeah, and Atlanta's just not looking good. Is it missing Roddy White that badly?
Perhaps. It could be. That's the missing link right there.
I mean, I saw Jaquizz Rodgers running very well in the game. Julio Jones is Julio Jones. He looks good, but they're just not clicking. And, you know, it makes me wonder, I mean, just how much of a spark plug have you, or catalyst, if you will,
having Roddy White to deal with open up somebody to help out on Tony Gonzalez? Maybe a healthy Roddy White spreads things out a little more, lets Gonzalez run free through the middle. That almost has to be it.
And I'm not, you know, it's hard to bash Matt Ryan. He's averaging over 300 yards a game.
Sadly, that's not a feather in your cap anymore.
No, it's not, but he's still got a QBR over 100. I mean, he's got 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's really throwing up bad numbers, but they just don't seem to be that dominant force that they were last year, that's for sure.
That is not the, you know, we pictured them and the Saints being that same. The Saints haven't been that impressive. It's just a strange year. I'm just going to go
it
back
is a
to
strange
that. I don't
year.
Even know how to analyze that. So, Rick, stinky sock from you.
Okay, stinky sock. Yeah, I was willing to give him a pass last week. Look, they played a Seattle defense, and they confounded them terribly. But you know what? Colin Kaepernick looked lost out there against the Colts. And, I mean, right now this guy's got 3 touchdown passes, 4 picks, only 689 yards passing. He's averaging about under 230 yards a game. His QBR's 72.5, something like that. And he is just not looking like, you know, it's what I suspected before, that I'm not believing in him. He was the hot commodity at the end of the year. He got on a hot streak, but I just wasn't convinced he was going to take this team on his shoulders. And I'm, like I said, I just think he looks lost out there right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You think he could come back. Historically, he's done it, but to this point, it just hasn't happened. So a couple more minutes, Rick. Let's give out one last game ball, and we'll get out of here. I got to give a shout to Terrell Pryor, Rick. I want to just discuss him a little bit. He's had bigger weeks to this point, but 19, I don't even know what that means, 19 for 28, 281 yards, a touchdown, 4 carries for 36 yards in a blowout. And obviously, he got blown up at the end of the game there, walked out with that concussion. This is a guy, boy, to keep your eye on. He's doing Cam Newton better than Cam Newton this year. Not going to see huge passing numbers for him, you think? I don't know if this is a Homer thing, you know, him being Western Pennsylvania, me seeing him in high school. The kid's impressed me, and I think he's only going to get better and run the offense the way they're running it, his ability to run the ball and to go off for that. This is a guy you got to start thinking about in bigger leagues as a starting option, and he's starting to tick up there in your 14- and 12-team leagues as well.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly is a viable option now, fantasy-wise.
We'd have laughed at that in August if anybody said that. You'd have been roundly mocked like we did to Matt Besser.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Beezer.
But no, you know, look, this team's not good. He's probably not going to put up huge numbers. But, you know, in bye week situation, you have an injury. You know, he could be a good stopgap for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm just not high on the guys. I don't mean, you know, I like the athletic quarterbacks, don't get me wrong, but when most of his point production is from the rushing, that's when you start to worry. Yeah. I mean, like you said, he got blowed up at the end of that game.
And that's,
right there is what you worry about right there.
Right, and does he come back? We don't know how severe it is. Yeah. That's what you got to watch for. But just not a huge game, not a big play every week, but something to keep your eye on if you're down in Eli Manning land in terms of starting quarterbacks. This is a guy I might consider, at least especially based on matchups.
Yeah, and if you're in Eli Manning land, I mean, your head is spinning around right now like Reagan.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, no question.
All right,
about
one
that.
More game ball, Rick. We're almost out of time.
One more game ball. I got to give it to my boy Jamal Charles.
Yeah,
you know, from
he's
the Philadelphia game. You know, I think he's under 100 yards rushing, but he's up by 92. He scored a touchdown, like 8 receptions, and he just looks good. I mean, that one pass out in the flat. I think we talked off the air, you know, Mayock on the show. You sidestepped the cornerback. You've got to make that play. And then he kind of, you know, defended himself. He goes, well, Jamal Charles is not the easiest guy in the world to tackle. I mean, the guy just fleet of foot. I mean,
no,
gone.
Yeah, just that quick. Yeah, no, just what you expect, what we expected, you more than I, however, doing it, haven't seen those big rushing numbers out of him, but he's getting it done. He's getting in the end zone. He's catching passes, looking like the top three guy you had him pegged as going into the season. Well, that's it, Rick. Boy, a lot of show crammed into an hour tonight. It was a lot of excitement.
Yeah, and a little disjointed at times, you know, between birthday parties and
one bit of awkward silence right before we got Matt Besser out of there. We apologize for that.
Yeah, because we thought Dennis was calling him in, and then he didn't. And oh man,
comes down
to
our producer stinks, is what it is.
Well,
again,
yeah.
If you're interested in
his name's Rick too.
Yeah, if you're interested in producing the Asylum Fantasy Football Show and you're willing to work for free, give us a call.
Yeah, we can give you a Twinkie or something, maybe.
Yeah, something. We'll feed you.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get out of here. Thanks again to Matt Besser. If you want to check him out, mattbesser.com, at Matt Besser on Twitter. He's also the bookie. I don't know if he talked about it on the air. We talked about it before. Him and Ian Roberts and Matt Walsher put out a, how do they put it here? They finished writing the Upright Citizens Brigade Comedy Improvisational Manual. I hope I said that right. If you're interested in that, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, that can be found at ucbtheater.com. So check that out.
Yes, indeed. And you know, and if you haven't seen any of his movies, you know, definitely Google him and pick some because they are good. He's funny.
So that's it. Thanks again to Matt Besser. We will be back Sunday for The Slant. Check us out there Sunday at 10 a.m. You can call us 646-478-4679 with your lineup questions. Get them into us throughout the week. As Rick likes to say, all are answered. Some are read on the air. That's at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com. So until Sunday and on The Slant, we'll see you.
Take care. We'll be right back.